How many want to be a home for the miracle of God? Our hearts, our lives, to birth the presence of God. What a fantastic Lord we get to serve. Watch the scripture, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. For just a couple of minutes, I'd like you to journey with me to Bethlehem. Let's take a journey to Bethlehem. Now, by A.D. 6, wide-scale censuses were taken every 14 years. Before that time, it was periodically that they would occur and at less regular intervals, but they were important for evaluating taxation. And Augustus wanted to get some tax money. He wanted to live in the lap of luxury, and he didn't care about the difficulty that he put on men and women having to go back to the city of their birth in order to be registered. And here's Mary, as we've learned from the scriptures, 9 months pregnant. Ladies, how many of you would like to make that kind of a trek on donkey back at 9 months pregnant? How many of you might be yelling at Joseph, your husband? Censuses were important for evaluating taxes. The governor of Syria is mentioned because the Roman province of Syria included Palestine under its jurisdiction at that time. Now, betrothal between Mary and Joseph. Betrothal in that day in Israel had the legal rights of marriage, except they were not able to consummate the marriage. They were to have no sexual relationship. That was forbidden. But his wife ended up pregnant. And of course, we now, looking back at the time, understand the reason why she was pregnant. But how many of you think she probably didn't get away with too many people by saying, yes, it's God's child? I didn't know a man. How many think that probably didn't fly too well? But she also is a Bethlehemite, and so they make their way back to Bethlehem. She returns to that town. Although most tax laws at the time required only the head of the household to appear, it looks like the province of Syria then also at that time taxed women. Joseph may have simply wanted to avoid the shame that his wife certainly was feeling, the rejection, and he also wanted to be there undoubtedly for the birth of the child Jesus, and they had to get themselves where? To Bethlehem. Bethlehem. In the Old Testament, Bethlehem was an early Canaanite settlement that connected with the patriarchs of the Old Testament. It was situated along an ancient caravan route, and Bethlehem was a melting pot then of all sorts of people and all sorts of cultures that were coming together since their beginning. The geography of the region is mountainous. It's about 2,600 feet above the Mediterranean Sea. Bethlehem. You know about Bethlehem. It was the burial place for Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife who passed, and she was buried there. Members of Caleb's family settled in Bethlehem. How many remember that Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz were in Bethlehem? And the book is set primarily in the fields around Bethlehem. King David, the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz, was born and raised in Bethlehem, and there David's mighty men lived. So Bethlehem eventually came to be called the city of David. I know there's Zion, there's that in Jerusalem, but Bethlehem was indeed a city of David as the symbol of his dynasty that occurred, and it grew into an important strategic and fortified city under King Rehoboam following Solomon. But what we have by the time Jesus comes is a city that's fallen. The best days probably behind it, or some of the residents might have thought. Bethlehem declined in prominence, declined in significance, and by the time of Jesus' day, it was a small village, if you will. But what about its destiny? Micah chapter 5, verse 2 tells us, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Bethlehem. Doesn't it seem a lot like us sometimes? Great things. But sometimes, maybe like me, you feel like you never quite fulfill the desires of your heart or the destiny that you may have felt in your life. And Bethlehem, certainly, probably people would look at Bethlehem and think this little village isn't going to ever fulfill that verse of scripture. It's just not going to happen. Sometimes, guys and gals, we think our best days are viewed from the rear view mirror. Can anybody be honest enough to say, yeah, that's true upon occasion? But God. Say that with me. But God. But God's always got something different in mind. Aren't you glad? Come on, aren't you glad? High five one another. Say, I'm glad. How about you? But God always has something in mind, and that something is redemption. When Jesus comes in, everything changes. When he comes in, Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Got a few pictures here for you. There's a close-up of them in the cave. I didn't even hear any laughter. That was a bad joke. Anyway, there's Bethlehem down the lower left of their Bethlehem of today, and there's the spot in the Church of the Nativity that marks where the cave was, and probably, as they think and say, where the baby was born. You look through that hole many times, people will kneel there and pray at that spot. It's one of the most renowned places of honor in Christianity, at the Church of Nativity there. But when Jesus was born, there wasn't any lights, no big trees, no decorations, just a manger, animals, and a too crowded inn. They were jam-packed in that city because of returning for the census. It's not surprising there was no room for them in the inn. Mary wraps her baby in strips of cloth. Swaddling clothes basically were strips of cloth that held the baby securely and would hold the limbs straight so the baby would grow properly, but especially keeping it warm and secure. The cloths were to protect the internal organs. And this manger, we get this glorious thought of the wooden mangers, but basically it was a stone feeding trough. And this cave out in the back had carved out spots in the rock where they would feed the animals. And most likely that's exactly what it was, because Israel, even if you go there today, doesn't have an awful lot of trees and wood. It has a lot of what? Rocks. The word traditionally translated inn probably means home or guest rooms. And despite popular Christmas card characters and pictures, the surroundings were dark and dirty. Everything pointed to obscurity, poverty, even rejection. Luke showed that the King of Kings was born into poor and humble surroundings. And you know what I think? I think God delights in doing just that. Just that, where people think, he can't help me. I'm too far gone. I haven't fulfilled what God's called me to do. I know I've made a lot of mistakes. And he delights to just absolutely move into that situation. Look at you and me, say, I'm here. I can do more than you think I can. How many know Jesus can do more in you, through you, and with you than you think he can? He can comfort the hurting heart. He can bless, he can bring peace, he can bring strength and joy, even in the midst of brokenheartedness. He loves you this morning. He cares. The Son of God comes to earth to bring light into the darkness and to bring songs to a smelly cave and with the animals. But God, go figure, that's what he loves to do. And the shepherds were a home for God's miracle. Your heart is a place for God's miracle today. And that's not where we are in the notes, so don't worry, Pat. a great light, God's angel choir, and some shepherds. That's where we are. Does that help? Pat's over there going, what are you doing? A great light, God's angel choir, and some shepherds. Get a load of this. I love it. I love what God does. He loves to show up and kind of blow our speakers, love to do some things that we don't expect. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Wouldn't you be? Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Come on, say that with me. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. By the way, just so you know, it according to accurate Greek, that is a very poor rendering of that verse. It's one we love to put on Christmas cards and pass around. But what that really means, they didn't say, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What they actually said was, peace to men of goodwill, or peace among men with whom he is pleased. A lot of times we wonder, how come there is no peace? A lot of times, it's because some folks aren't right with God, and you don't experience peace until you've made your surrender to Jesus. I experienced peace when I yielded my life to the Prince of Peace. When you give your life to Him, when you understand I'm a sinner, lost without Him, I can't perfect myself. I can't save myself. Why did He have to come as a baby in a manger? Because He came just like you and me to face the temptations you and I face, to not yield to them, to demonstrate how to walk with God, to die for us, bear the cost of our sins, to be buried and then to raise again. And now He's praying for us. Lord, help them. Give them strength. Give them peace. And He keeps us. And when you're in surrendered relationship with Him, peace comes. Then He is the Prince of Peace. If you don't have peace this morning, that's not always the issue. Sometimes it's because you ate a bad pizza the night before. But God knows the need of your life, and we're honored to pray with you and with anybody who needs that kind of personal relationship with Him so you experience that kind of peace. But what's happening here? These shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news. Man, can you imagine being out in the field and this huge heavenly choir comes, lights burst across the sky. How many saw the news the other day when Elon Musk's big thing, the satellite went up, and people thought all around, oh my gosh, there's a flying saucer. There's something out of there. And it turned out to be a rocket that he sent up. But boy, it was incredible because of the atmospheric conditions. Can you imagine what this must have been like? The sky split open, bright lights. There's these fearful little shepherds out in the field that nobody wants anything to do with, by the way. You need to know the shepherds were considered, not only we sing a song, do a play about the lowly shepherds, they were the lowest of the low as the shepherds. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. You read about the shepherds in that day in Israel, they weren't trusted, they didn't have integrity. If in fact, they would never allow, listen to this, they would never allow a shepherd at that day in Israel to ever be a witness in a trial because they didn't believe a shepherd would do anything but lie. Anybody want to apply for the role of shepherd here this morning? So there they are out in the field and the lights brighten up and the sky is bright and it's full of angels and they're all singing. Could you imagine? They're the first ones to hear the good news. Untrustworthy. What do you think they thought of themselves? And yet God says, I'm coming to you. Nobody else might like you, but God says, I love you, and I'm coming to you. God didn't send this choir and these angels to the people in the palaces. He didn't send them to those who were staying at the Holiday Inn. Another bad joke nobody laughed at. They didn't send them to people that had a lot of money. He didn't. He sent them to lowly shepherds. They were given a sign. They were given a sign that the baby was wrapped up in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, and they ran to find him. They ran to find him. The priests, they didn't want to go to him. Herod didn't want to go to him. Herod wanted news brought back to him, but he didn't want to go to him. These shepherds, now God knows what he's doing. These shepherds would not have been invited into the palaces to look for a baby. But they could get into the caves where the animals were and find God's son. God knows. Son of God comes to earth to bring light in the darkest scenario. Like I said a while ago, to bring a song to a smelly cave. The shepherd. The shepherds were a home for God's miracle. Now, number four, your heart is home for God's miracles today. Bethlehem, the cave, the manger of the shepherds, really it's all a picture of each one of us. Promise, potential, missed opportunity, some great triumphs, some difficulties. And maybe sometimes I think my best days are seen in the rearview mirror, but God knows what he's doing. And Jesus comes into a dark and difficult place. The world at that time was not a happy place, discouraged world. But in that place, the light of God shone, and a baby came. A baby born just like you and I, just like you and me, born to live a life just like you and me, to be tempted, the Bible says, just like you and me, but without sin. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 and 8 through 9, watch the scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Watch it out of the Passion Translation. I love the Passion Translation. Now again, it's a paraphrase, or it's actually based upon the Greek and Hebrew, but it's a today version that really shows the emphasis and the passion of the Greek meanings. Watch what it says. But God still loves us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. No one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. And that's good news for those whose hearts are right with God, because your heart and mine is a perfect place for the miracle of God, a home for God's miracle. Aren't you glad that you have opportunity to bear the Son of God, to have the Son of God in your life? He sees you. He knows you. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, I invite you and encourage you, surrender your life to him. The Christmas message is that he does want peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He wants us to come to him. That's why he came. Even when those you might desire to take your care and pick up your cause, even when those at an inn may say to you, I don't have room. God does. And he wants to be born in your heart and mine. Let your heart be a home for him, a home for his miracle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the miracle. Jesus, we thank you that you are the miracle of God. We thank you that you are so great that you came to earth as a baby to be born and now to be born in us as the Redeemer. You took our sins upon yourself. You rose again from the dead. And Jesus, we thank you as we surrender our life to you that you are Lord. Follow me in prayer, would you, Lord Jesus? I understand that you're the Savior. You are the Redeemer.
I surrender my life to you.
I repent of my sins.
I turn away from being a sinner.
Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And right now by faith, I receive you, Lord. And I thank you for your miracle in my heart. We worship you, Lord. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, Dan, if you'll reach over and just kind of flip those lights off. We've got one of my favorite, absolutely my favorite Christmas song, O Holy Night. We'd like you to enjoy along with David Phelps as he sings.